Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, someone might say, why did he get that? Well, he got it because that's what God wanted. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And when God wants something, praise the Lord, you just can't, you're not going to stop it. Hallelujah. Because when God wants something, it'll come to pass. Amen. And so why do we lay hands on people? You know, some people might question that. Well, we see that the works of Jesus, he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, amen. And he was laying hands on people all the time, amen. And and we see Paul laid hands on people and the other apostles laid hands on people. And we are also instructed to lay hands on people, yeah. Glory to God. And so we see this all through the Bible. Just because a lot of churches don't do it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done, amen. Yeah. Just because a lot of people do it doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. Because there's a whole lot of people that are doing a lot of things that should not be done. How many know that? Amen. And so we can follow the world and whatever they do, or we can follow everybody else, or we can have the power of God and do just what he says to do. Amen. And I'm just so thankful I've been taught that. You say, well, what do you get by laying on hands? Do you feel something? Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. It doesn't matter if you feel something, but you get an impartation. Amen. And an impartation is things that we don't want to go without. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Today's message is going to bless you. I know it's going to bless you because God has stirred it in me. It already blessed me. It blessed me putting it together. Praise God. But I know that it's direction for this church. Amen. And so it's something that came about through these set of meetings. And I'm just running with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, today's message is called Get Lit. Hallelujah. Get. Yep. Yep. Get Lit. Yeah. Well, what do we mean by that? We're not being. Let's see. Y'all minds went to the bad place. Hallelujah. But I'm thinking about what God. You know, when you get lit, what do you mean? It means you light up, right? Praise the Lord. We need to get some light. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we're gonna do it by getting lit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Now this is something. So I didn't expect it to have that great of a reaction, but man. I think next week's sermon is going to be named that too, just because I want to hear you all get excited again. Praise God. We get lit in church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, God's got good things for us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. But today's message, we're going to be talking about renewing our minds. Amen. We're going to be talking about getting into the things that, how do we obtain the things that God has for us? You know, people can read the word. There's lots of people that read the word, have no effect on them whatsoever. Why is that? It's because they just read the word. See, we have to do more than read the word. We have to let it renew us. I said we have to let it renew us. Amen. Because the word of God is meant to make us new. It's meant to change things. Amen. And so today we're gonna be talking all about that. And aren't you glad? Amen. Well, why don't we start? We're going to turn to Psalm 119. Praise the Lord. And we're going to get lit together. Psalm 119, verse 105. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Oh, I'm just so thankful for the Lord. I'm so thankful for what he's done in my life. Amen. Look what the word says. Amen. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Glory to God. His word is a lamp to my feet, your feet, and it is a light to our path. This is such a wonderful, wonderful scripture, and it just shares with us God's heart and why he gave us the word. He gave us the word of God to help guide us, to show us the way, and not just to guide us, but to light our path. It's a lamp to our feet. It's to ensure that we always are going in the right direction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we grew up in the city, Jamestown, big sprawling metropolis of Jamestown, and even in a small city such as Jamestown, there's lots of light. You know, even at nighttime, there's lots of light. Even on dark streets, there's lots of light. You don't always realize it when you live there. But then we moved up here into Mayville, and we moved out into the country a little ways where there's no light. And we learned real quick. It took us a little bit to adjust to no light. Amen? Because I was used to always having some amount of light. Glory to God. Well, when we moved up here, you know, and you get up in the middle of the night, it's dark, and you want to go through the house and get a glass of water or something, how many know that it's not real easy to see? Amen? In fact, we always kind of very unsuredly walk through the house, or I do when I get up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, or you know, or go get a glass of water or whatever, or just to check on things, check on that noise that we heard somewhere out there in the darkness, amen? And you walk through the house, you're like, I know that there's a couch here, and I know that couch has legs, and the best way to find a couch, the legs of a couch, does anyone know how to do that? Walk through the room at night. In the dark, praise the Lord, and you will find them with your toes. Those are couch leg finders, amen? Praise the Lord. My mom and I, we always had this thing. We had this thing of breaking our toes throughout our life. I don't know why, because we walked in darkness. But now we're walking in light, and so we don't need to do that. Praise God, hallelujah. But, you know, it's so important how we walk, and it's so important that we walk in the knowledge of what God has for us. Amen? But this idea that it's a light to our path and lamp to our feet isn't just, this isn't just a nice way or poetic way of saying something nice about God or what he wants for us. No, we understand this, that the word of God will inspire us. It will open us up to things that we've never seen before. You know, this week as we were with Pastor Ramos and he was here, you know, he comes from California, and I was talking to him when I picked him up about how I always love going to California, because every time I go to California, I always feel like I'm bigger on the inside a little bit. And what do I mean by that? It means I go out and I see things that I couldn't imagine before. And so it draws inside me. It kind of stirs me. And it thinks, man, if I can do this here, why can't we do this here? You know what I mean? And it just, it makes me feel bigger. It almost is like every time I land in San Diego, it's almost like there's an oppression that is lifted right off of me. I'm serious. If you don't know, there's a spirit of poverty over this region that tries to suppress people and keep them down. And they do things out there. I'm not saying all through California it's all good or anything like that. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it's not the same. Amen? But what I realized early on in our conversations with them was that that was good for me that I had that, that I had that revelation. But what I didn't realize is that I carry more of that revelation around with me all the time. Yeah. That the bigness of God is found in these pages, amen? And so really the bigness in us should be found as we search the scriptures, as we read the scriptures. And that's exactly what this is talking about. What do I mean the bigness of God? Of course, I'm talking about just your stuff, right? Just getting stuff, right? That's what I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about the bigness of God. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. God has put so many things around us to remind us of his bigness. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Amen? He's given us a universe that is so vast and spread apart, and there's planets, and there's suns, and there's stars, and there's all these different things, asteroids. You know what they've just found? I just love this. Praise the Lord, I was talking about it recently. They just found out they're floating around in our solar system. They found an asteroid that is, they are pretty sure, is pure gold. Yeah. Solid gold. In fact, they said that if they brought that asteroid back to this Earth, it would make every single person on the Earth, according to today's gold standard, would make every single person on the Earth a trillionaire. Wow. That's how much gold is in it. And then it got me thinking, because I started thinking about that. I was like, well, if they did that, then gold wouldn't be worth anything anymore, would it? That's a pretty interesting concept. So they're probably not going to do that. But the idea of this, in my mind, started expanding and going further. Because then I started realizing, when you read about how, you know, we know gold is a precious metal, right? Just about everybody at some point in their life has desired something made out of gold or silver or something like that. Amen? Or precious jewels or whatever. But we know it's a precious metal. And one of the reasons it's precious is because there's a limited amount of it. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. But what that started telling me is because when we read through scripture, we see things like God has paved the streets of heaven with gold. He uses gold as pavement. Pure gold. Like anybody would like, you know, there's different grades of gold. You know, there's 10 karat gold and there's 14 karat gold. There's 24 karat gold, which is probably about as pure as we can get. But we're told that the streets of heaven were paved with gold that's even purer than that. Amen. And so this is what the scripture says to us. And so we see this, okay, to us, it's a big thing. But then we find an asteroid floating around out there that just destroys that curve. And so what we start realizing is that God is a big God. Yeah. That the things that are huge to us are nothing to him. And I hope you can see that through my illustration because that's exactly who our God is. But see, we need to renew our mind to the place where we understand who God is because we operate through his ability and his power, not our own. But see, what happens is so often Christians will come into the church and they continue to live their lives and operate in their own ability. And this is why they never see the fullness of the promises of God. Because he has told us to forsake our way and to go with his way. Amen. And so the number one way that we have to do that is through renewing our mind. Amen. What does it mean to renew your mind? Well, to renew your mind essentially is to get something in you so much, get scripture in you so much that something starts changing. Yeah. See, I'm different than I was when I first came into the church. I didn't have any faith when I first started coming into Family Church. I had enough faith to be saved, but that was about it. I didn't have faith for anything else. I didn't have trust in God fully or anything like that. But over the years, as the scriptures have been put into me over and over and over again, something started changing on the inside of me. I started walking differently. I started living differently. I started expecting God for certain things that I never expected God for. I started believing God in certain areas that I was never able to believe him for. I started seeing things in the Word that I was never able to see before. And all because the Word was renewing me. Amen? Because the Bible says that as a man thinks, so is he. See, because what happens is this is the doorway, the eyes, but this is the door, the ears. This is the doorway into our spirit. Yeah. Praise God. We're going to see this in a little while, but we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith can only be built by hearing the Word of God. This is why Jesus didn't just go around feeding people. He went around feeding people, but he also fed them the Word of God. Why did he feed them the Word of God? Because feeding the Word of God is what changes them. Giving somebody a meal will not change them. Paying somebody's a light bill or paying somebody's mortgage payment won't last them their entire life. But teaching somebody how to live in faith will change. Teaching somebody how to live in faith will pay every mortgage payment. Teaching somebody how to live in faith will change will pay every bill that comes in. It will heal every disease. It will get you through every trial. Amen. But we have to renew our minds. Amen. The reason that we see people that may come into the church and they get help for a time and then they turn around and they go back to where they were, as the Proverbs say, that a dog returns to its own vomit or a pig to its wallowing in the mire. The Word actually says that. And what that is somebody with an unrenewed mind, somebody who comes in and they start to change, they start seeing God, but they refuse to put the Word in. They refuse to renew their minds, and because they don't renew their mind, nothing ever changes, and the devil, the Bible says, back. He comes back, but he brings more with him. And when he comes into that house, it's been swept and clean, and he goes in and he attacks, and he can, and the only reason he can is because they've never renewed their mind. It has nothing to do with God's power not working. It has nothing to do with God's desire. It has everything to do with what God has told us. He said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word is a lamp unto our feet. It will show us the way that we are supposed to go. It will open us. It will show us to the doors that we are supposed to go to. How many know you don't stumble when you can see? You don't get tripped up when you can see. You don't get broken when you can see. Why? Because you know where you're going. The Holy Spirit, the very light on the inside of us, he was given to us for the purpose of showing us the direction of God, to showing us the way into the things of God. And yet so many reject him, and they reject him because it's different to them. But that's okay, because God is different to all of us. Thank God God is different. Thank God he used methods that were different, because guess what? The old ways, you remember, the old ways didn't work, did they? The old ways didn't set us free. The old ways didn't help us. But the new way will. And what's the new way? The new way is God's way. Hallelujah. The new way is the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to turn to Joshua. We're going to see what Joshua had to say about this. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you wrote it or someone else did. I don't remember all that. See, I don't have all the, necessarily all the background and all the word. I know everybody. It doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. You just got to know what you know. I love what Pastor Noel kept saying, man. He said, do what you know. Don't worry about what you don't know. Just do what you know. And if you start with what you know, God will lead you into more. Amen. He'll help you. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to start in Joshua 1, starting right there in verse 1. And it says here, after the death of Moses, now we know what happened, that Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, right? They were in slavery, they were in captivity. What is God's desire for his people? To be out of slavery and out of captivity, amen? So he sent someone to lead them, amen? God didn't come down out of heaven and stand before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. What did he do? He sent a man. And when I say a man, I don't mean just a man, like a male man. I mean, not like a male man, but you know what I mean. Like a M-A-L-E man, amen, hallelujah. We're talking, you know, he could send a female man, or he can send a male man. It doesn't matter. He's just going to, you know, praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. But he sent a man. He didn't come down out of heaven and appear before Pharaoh, because certainly Pharaoh might have let him go then, right? No, but God doesn't do things like that. God does things through other people. Amen? Through people. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Well, I was giving you some context. That's how I got off on the mailman thing. But so we see that Moses was not allowed to lead the people of Israel, even though God had promised them. He was not able to lead them into the promised land because of their unbelief. Because they refused the word of the Lord. They refused the thing that was given. And so Moses was never able to do that. Well, praise the Lord. And so this is where we pick it up. Moses is gone. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. And I love that it puts this in here, Moses' assistant. Now, I could preach a whole message just on this. But how many know that God uses those who allow themselves to be used? Yes. And it never starts in a big manner. It never starts. You know, we always talk about Pastor Michael's toilet cleaning ministry. Yeah. That's where all his ministers have to start, cleaning toilets. Praise the Lord, and I'm glad for it. Yeah. See, if you think you're so great, if you think you're the next one, listen, the way that you prove that you're ready to go out and lead God's people is first you serve. And you serve somebody well. You serve somebody for years. You don't just get to serve somebody for a month and, oh, praise God, I'm going to go get my own ministry. That's not the way that it works, praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge, amen. But we ain't preaching on that today. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Well, you know, I mean, we could pull this apart, just keep getting into it, but it'd get me distracted real quick. Praise the Lord. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you or stand before you all the days of your life. I love that, because back there he says, I have given it to you. Yeah. And then he says, no man will stand before you. In other words, no man will be able to block you from doing it. Yeah. So what does this mean? This means he's given it to us, but there'll be opposition to it. Yeah. Isn't that what he was telling them? Yeah. He said, there'll be opposition, but they won't be able to stand. Yeah. They'll try, but it won't work out for them. Yeah. You have to understand, when you're in the plan of God, there will be opposition. If there is an opposition, you got to question whether you're in the plan of God or not. I said there will be opposition in the plan of God. But no man will be able to stand. But see, you got to believe this. Praise the Lord. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And then the very next words are very important. Be strong and of good courage. Praise the Lord. Look what he tells it. He would not tell somebody to be strong and be of good courage unless those two very things were going to be attacked. Right. But see, the problem with most Christians is they get a little bit of attack and they fold like a piece of paper. Right. Yeah. They fold because they don't take heed to this scripture. We have to be a little bit tougher than the devil is. Yeah. Yeah. Not much, but just a little bit. We have to just to be at least a little bit more tough than he is opposing. Amen? Yeah. And if we're not, we'll never make it. And it's not because God, he said, be strong and of good courage. He said, why are you saying that to Joshua? Well, he's saying it to you too. Yeah. Amen. The Bible says that all this was written for our admonition. Yeah. In other words, all this was written to build us up. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Praise God. Only be strong and very courageous. He says it again. Amen. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. So look at what he says. He said, be strong and courageous that you may observe, that you may do. See, it takes strength and courage to fulfill the plan of God. To look at the word and say, you know what? The Bible says I'm healed, so I'm healed. I don't care what I feel. Right. The Bible says I'm prosperous, so I'm prosperous. I don't care what I feel. The Bible says I can, so I can. I don't care what I feel. The Bible says I'm strong, so I don't care. If I feel weak, it does not matter because the Bible says I'm strong. It does not matter what my flesh tells me. It does not matter what my neighbor tells me. It doesn't matter what my friends tell me. It doesn't matter what all the other Yahoos out there floating around in Yahoo land are trying to tell me. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. I got God who said he would never leave me nor forsake me. And because I have that Lord, I am going to go into the promised land, the land he's promised to me. Now, the land he's promised to you is nowhere near the Euphrates River. Praise the Lord. But God is promising things to us because he can't fit everybody over there. But everybody has the ability to be saved. But we have to discover what the promised land is for us. We have to know that God has a promised land for us. See, so many people go through this life. They say, oh, Lord, I would just like one good day. I would just like to pay my bills once on time. And God's like, pay your bills once on time. I have an entire land of prosperity for you. I have an entire place of provision for you. I have an entire place of everything that you'll ever need. I have set it aside just for you. All you got to do is be strong and of good courage. You got to follow my word and you got to walk into it. Because if you do that, you'll get there. See, we got to renew our mind of these things. We have to understand these things. Somewhere along the line, there's a lot of Christians that have lost this. And I'm not coming down on Christians other than the fact to say that, you know what? There's a lot of weak, mealy-mouthed Christians out there that don't know what to do with themselves. There's a lot of Christians out there that don't know how to put the word to practice. And guess what? We need to start standing up against the devil and stop letting him run our lives. I said, we got to stop. How does the devil run our lives? Well, he sends an attack and you start crying. He sends an attack and you, I don't know what to do. You know what to do. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to open the word. You're going to get back in the word and you're going to stand against the attack of the devil because you got some greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He is in the world. The devil's in the world, but greater is the one that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what comes against you. It doesn't matter what the devil's trying to pull at you. It doesn't matter where he's trying to keep you bound or keep you down or anything else. God wants to bring you out. Praise the Lord. Psalm 107 verse 20 says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Well, there's two things I see there that God did. He healed them, his people, through his word, and he delivered them. You don't need deliverance. You need God. I said, you don't need deliverance. You need the word. You need to stand on the word. That's your deliverance. Deliverance has already been paid for. He already healed you. You ain't waiting to be healed. You just got to walk in healed. You got to start learning how to live in healed. You got to start learning how to live in prosperity. And how are you going to do that? You're going to renew your mind to what the word says and stop always thinking about what the doctor says or stop thinking about what your sister says or stop thinking about what your friends say or stop thinking about what your coworkers say. You're just going to listen to the word because the word needs to be your truth. If the word is not your truth, then you're going to live where you've always lived. And you're wasting your time coming to church. I said, you're wasting your time coming to church. If you don't get the word in you, you waste your time. You're wasting your time, and we don't want to waste our time. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I think, you know, Pastor Ramos said we're in a new phase. I think we stepped into it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Only be strong of good courage that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left, right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The Bible said it, not me. Right. Now, if he gave it to people that he didn't give the Holy Ghost to, the Bible promises in the New Testament that we have a better covenant based on better promises. Doesn't this apply to us at least this much? Yeah. I would think it would. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now look what it says here. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all the according to all that is written in it. For then, everyone say then. Amen. What's the then? After you meditate in it day and night. When you make it a practice of meditating in the word day and night. when you make a practice of getting the word in you and not letting it go day and night, night and day, all the time, the word is the most important thing to you. When you make that your practice, then you will make your way prosperous. The Bible says, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Well, I don't know about you, but I lived a life where I had no success. Praise God, hallelujah. I thought if anything bad was going to happen, surely it was going to happen to me. I had an unrenewed mind. I was a Christian who didn't know who I was in Christ. I was a Christian who didn't know the promises that God had for me. I was a Christian who had not been bigger on the inside, because I was allowing the world to lower my standards. I was allowing the world to make me less. I was allowing the world to make me weak. Yeah, praise the Lord. See, here's the thing. Here's the truth. I'm just going to give you the truth right now. Where we go in God is up to us. It ain't up to God. I said, where we go in God is up to us. It ain't up to God. He's already provided a way. He's given us the path. He's given us all the ability. Where we go is up to us. Do we walk in it? Now, I know you all want to know what that word meditate means, because we obviously got to sit cross-legged on the floor with some, Near Easter or Eastern music playing in the background, burning incense and chanting, right? That's what meditate means. No, that's not what meditate means. Praise God. Hallelujah. Meditate, as the Bible says, means to utter, to speak, devise, muse, and imagine. Wow. Now, I didn't really know what, I know what a muse is, but I didn't know what musing is. So I had to look that word up. It means to be absorbed in thought. Imagine. It means to imagine, to be absorbed in thought. What does this mean? Meditate on the word. Make your thoughts be absorbed with the word. Yes. Not what situation. Like, listen, if you need healing, here's your answer. Meditate on healing scriptures. Get them in you. Don't let them go. You get them in you. You let them get into you. How do you know you get them in you? Because when something gets in you, when something gets into your spirit, when something happens, that's what comes out. Yeah. Amen. I got to do the same word. I said, I got to do the same word. Praise God. We will not walk in the blessing of the Lord unless we meditate in his word, unless we renew our minds. Amen. We have to do that. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah. Going forward, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, or not broken. Right there, dismayed. I'm not broken. Christians, stop saying you're broken. You're not broken. Why? Because greater is he that's in you and me than he that's in the world. Right? Praise the Lord. I'm not broken. Why? Because I got the fixer on the inside. I got the fix on the inside. We have to submit ourselves to the word. You have to submit yourself to that. This is true. I'm going to tell you right now that I don't care where you've come from. I don't care where you're at in your walk. If you don't do this message today, if you don't put this message to practice, you are as far as you will go. And you will go no further. Praise God. I said you will go no further. Why? Because you can't. You have to meditate in the word. God can't take you any further than what you're willing to meditate. Well, praise the Lord. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I love that. He's with us wherever we go. Doesn't matter where we're at. Doesn't matter what we're doing. God is with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now see, like salvation, there are things given to us by the blood of Jesus that will not manifest automatically. Let me say that again. Like salvation, there are things given to us by the blood of Jesus that will not manifest automatically. What do I mean by this? Let's look at salvation. Do we just walk into salvation? Salvation free, first of all. Yes, it's free. Is it free to everybody? Yes, it's free to everybody. Is everybody saved? No. Why is it automatic? Doesn't the Bible say that God wills that all men should come to repentance? Does the Bible not say that? It says that, right? Praise the Lord. So if it's God's will that all men should come to repentance, and it's already been bought and paid for, repentance is, or salvation is already bought and paid for, it's free, why doesn't everybody just automatically get it? Because you have to receive it. You have to. Yes, exactly. Free will. You have to receive it. Well, see, here's the thing about salvation. There are things that come with salvation other than just getting you into heaven. Yeah. Yeah. People don't realize this. One of those things that we have received from God that we get with salvation, just like salvation, that is bought in that covenant, is $1 million in the bank. Nope. It's not $1 million in the bank. God has promised you no amount of money. He's promised you no amount of gold. But there are things that he has promised as a matter of a fact. One of those things is healing. Healing is a part of covenant, is a part of salvation. It is an absolute thing. You cannot change that. So people, when they pray for healing, are praying for something they already have. I said they're praying for something that they already have. Now, my wife has a vehicle out there. My wife could sit there and say, honey, I really want a Buick Envision. A 2016 Buick Envision. That's the desire of my heart. I'd be like, love, you got one. Just go get in it. She's like, no, but I don't feel like I got it yet. I really want it. I really desire that. I'd be like, go out and drive it. Yeah. See, this is the same thing. She would have to, if she was speaking like that, she is showing the example of a person who has an unrenewed mind. Yeah. She hasn't renewed her mind to the fact that she owns that yet. Right. Do you know when I first got my Jeep, it took me a week to believe that it was even mine. I'm not kidding you. Yeah. It took me a week to actually be able to accept that it was mine. Why? Because it was something I desired all my life. And I couldn't believe that it was finally there. I couldn't believe it. I'm telling you, a person who speaks faith and preaches faith, I couldn't believe that it was mine. And so there was a hesitancy in my spirit or in my flesh. There was a hesitancy in me I don't know. It felt like it was going to get taken at any time. I had to renew my mind to the fact that that was mine. I don't question it anymore. If I want to go drill holes in it, punch holes in it, take things off and throw them to the side, I can do all that because it's mine. Yeah. Yeah. You understand? Praise God. Yeah. But see, it's the same thing with things that are given to us in salvation. We can ask God for them, but if he's already given to us, it's not a matter of him giving them to us. It's a matter of us renewing our mind to the fact that they're ours. Yeah. See, because you can't receive of God until you've renewed your mind. You can't receive salvation. I have known people who have prayed the prayer to accept the Lord, but they have never received the idea of salvation. If you ask them today, are you saved? They'd say, I don't know. What haven't they done? They haven't renewed their mind to the fact they've been saved. Yeah. Listen, if you're a Christian and you know that you've prayed the prayer and you did it with your heart, you have to know that you're saved. Yeah. The Holy Spirit bears witness to that. If it's not, you haven't renewed your mind enough. What happens a lot of times is people come into church, they get what they need, and then they leave, and then things fall apart again, and it's all because they don't keep renewing their mind. People who come to church sporadically, what are they doing? They are renewing their mind once in a while, and that's why they have chaos in their life. It's up and down and all over the place. See, coming to church isn't about having a big congregation. Coming to church is about renewing your mind and doing getting connected to what God wants to do in your life. It's that realization. So it's not us just sitting up here harping and you saying, there's people that left us because they said you got to come to church. Yeah. Yeah. Like, how much sense does that make? Yeah. They literally left us because we kept saying you got to come to church. Well, listen, I'm always going to say you got to come to church. Why? Because that's a place where you're going to get your help. Yeah. You're not going to get your help out there in the world. You're not going to get your help at the soccer game. You're not going to get your help out there doing the events or the charities or whatever. You're not going to get your help out there. You're going to only get your help when you connect to what God is doing. Amen? You got to renew your mind. It has to be important to you. The things of God have to be important to you. Amen? Salvation, in order to get it, you have to renew your mind to the fact that it's actually yours. My pastor tells a story about this one person, a faithful person, praise the Lord, in the church. He said after he led this person to salvation to get saved, in the prayer, he spent the next several hours convincing her that she was actually saved. She would keep going back to, I've done this, and how could God save me? I did this, this, and this. It's just a person who won't renew their mind. And so it's the same thing. It works for all things. There are things. But see, here's the importance of being in the Word day and night. If you don't know that healing is yours, then you'll follow the rest of the fools that say God makes you sick. If you think that death is a cause of God, you will never renew your mind to the fact that it's actually a cause of the devil. If you don't realize that sickness is always, always of the devil, then you'll blame it on God. And you will never renew your mind to healing. And so we need to understand these things. A lot of times, Christians, people that are born again, the reason they don't receive healing or it takes so long is because they never renew their minds. See, if you take a person, you go out into the street. Now, Jesus went on the street and he went up to people that were not saved, that didn't know God, and he would lay hands on those sick and he would go around and some of those people would be healed instantly. And there, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times they were healed instantly. And when they were, a lot of times it was because they never knew any of this stuff before. But see, the Bible says that who much is given, much is required. And so if you've been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and you're dealing with healing in your body, you need to renew your mind. You need to get healing scripture so into you that every single time that there's a little sniffle, every time there's a little hurt, a little pain, the word comes out of you. You respond to it with the word. You got to get it in you. How do you get it in you? Well, you only get it in you by putting it in you. It's only going to come out of you. There's only going to be stuff that come. How do I want to say this? I'm getting fumbled up in my words. Only what comes out, or what comes out will only be from what goes in. Praise the Lord. So if you need the power of God in an area, it has to first go in you before it comes out of you. Meditate on the word day and night. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do? We surround people. When my wife was dealing with, when Ezra was in the womb and we were told that she was probably going to lose her, what do? We put the word in her all the time. We had it playing night and day, all night long anyways, and we just kept those scriptures, you know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you pray, do you pray from a place of covenant? You're saying, what the heck is covenant? Well, God gave us a thing called marriage to show us what covenant is. What's marriage supposed to be? Marriage is supposed to be two people, man and woman, man and woman, man and woman. Yeah. Two people get married, a man and a woman get married, right? Praise the Lord, that's a marriage. It's not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. Well, praise the Lord. But two people get married, and when they get married, everything, what do you say in your wedding vows? In sickness and health, poverty, rich, all this different stuff. Forget them all, but you know. But we know it's basically everything. You give everything that's yours to them, and they give everything that's theirs to you. What is it? A covenant? If we understood true covenant is an exchange of everything. It's saying that everything that's mine is yours and all that's yours is mine. Praise the Lord. If I refuse you in covenant, I am breaking the covenant. Yeah. Right. I said, if I refuse you in covenant, I am breaking the covenant. If I don't focus and take care of my wife's needs above and beyond my own, I am breaking the covenant, and she would do the same thing. This is why so many marriages end up in disaster, because husband's out doing what he wants to do and wife's out doing what she wants to do. And they're not doing what each other's supposed to do. See, covenant, the very nature of covenant, the idea of it is that you give all for the other person and they give all for you. So the same thing with our covenant with God, it's the same thing. He gives all to us and we give all to him. That's covenant, folks. That's why it's so important to God. That's why I don't talk bad about the marriage covenant. Why? Because it's important to God. That's why it's important to God. We literally, when we do that, that's why I don't joke about my wife in a manner that's degrading or about being married to my wife in a manner that's degrading. Why? Because when I do that, what I do is I essentially spit in the face of God and say that your covenant means nothing to me. Yeah. That's what you do. That's what it is. That's why we don't do that. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. And so I remember used to work in a factory. And that's all these people did. They sit in the break room and they'd sit there complaining about their spouse. All the time, my spouse is this, my spouse is that, you know what I mean? And what they're doing is they're just running out, destroying their own covenant. Well, praise the Lord. So when you pray, do you pray from a place of covenant, understanding that what's God's is yours? He made the covenant with us. We didn't ask him to. He's the one that said, hey, I'm going to make a covenant with you if you'll accept it. Folks, God said, I want to make a covenant. You didn't ask him for nothing. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to pay for it all. I'm going to make it good. I'm going to put the seal of approval on it. I'm going to say it's good. All you got to do is decide you want to walk in it. Praise the Lord. So what gets withheld in covenant? Does anyone know? Nothing. Nothing from the other person in the covenant. Now listen, if I ain't got a whole lot, I don't got a lot to offer. So I go to God and I say, Lord, I ain't got nothing to offer you. But such as I have, I do. I'll offer up to God all the time. What, God, whatever you want me to do, praise the Lord. What is that? Fulfilling my role in covenant. He knew that it was going to be a more one-sided covenant. He knew we weren't going to be able to do a lot to bless him. But what we do blesses him. And that's all that matters. Praise the Lord. So when you go to God in prayer, you have to go to God from a place of covenant. When my wife and I got married, there was no surprises. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I tell her all the time when I do something stupid, you knew who I was when you married me. Yeah. Covenant, baby. You stepped into that covenant knowing no, nothing was hidden from you. Praise the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that I've got to try to do something to be better. You understand? But she knew. Hallelujah. But why do I say that? There was no surprises in our covenant. We knew. I knew what was mine, and she knew what was hers. We had these discussions. Actually, a lot of what people do, the reason why marriages fail, is because most of what people do pre-marriage is they just sit around tickling each other instead of actually sitting around figuring out what our covenant is going to look like. I'm just telling you the truth. This is why the tickling comes after. You have the tickle parties after you get married. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got to wait till after. Why? Because you got to know what's in the covenant. Why am I saying all this? How are you going to receive from God if you don't know what his covenant is? What has God given you? What has he promised you? What is salvation? Salvation is your covenant. Salvation, when you receive Jesus, that's your promise. You enter into it. Most people enter into it. They don't even know what it means. Well, I just get in heaven. I guess that's it. No, there's other things that come in that. But see, you will never pray that way. You will never pray along those lines. You will keep asking for God for things you already have. Praise God. Glory. You understand what I'm saying? It just is foolishness, but that's what Christians do. Lord, heal me. Lord, I ask you to heal me. No, I don't ask God to heal me. I receive healing in my body because that's what my covenant said. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, you guys ready for a renewed mind sandwich? Turn to me to Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Renewed mind sandwich. Ephesians 4. You're hungry, go to Ephesians 4. Get yourself a sandwich. It's the word of God. You heard it here. Although I don't know if the word sandwich is even in Scripture, but Ephesians 4:22. Praise God. Now what I mean, we're going to read three scriptures. Verse 22 is one slice of bread. Verse 23 is the meat. And verse 24 is the other slice of bread. It's not an open-faced sandwich. It's a fully closed sandwich. You know how I look at open-faced sandwiches? Like I got gypped. That's exactly it. No. Because I love meat, but if you're going to give me meat, put it between two pieces of bread. Not lay it on top of one. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Amen? That's why I never understood. You go to the if you're counting calories or something, you go to a loaf of bread. They always get one piece of bread as a serving. For who? Who does one piece of bread serve? One piece of bread has never served me my entire life. I've never looked at one piece of bread and gone, that's a full serving. I'm glad that I got one. No. If somebody gave me one piece of bread, I'm like, where's the other one? That's half. That's half a sandwich. Where's the other half? You understand? I mean, sometimes they make the other half bigger, like in hamburgers, you got a smaller half and a bigger half. But that's just because it's easier to put the hamburger in that way. But if you cut it down the middle, you still have two halves. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. No, it's one. Yeah, praise the Lord. So here's the sandwich. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The old man, the old you that you brought in when you came to Christ, that you grows corrupt. It said it grows corrupt. It didn't say it has grown corrupt. It didn't say it went bad. It says it grows corrupt. What does that mean? It means that when you don't put that old man off, it continues to corrupt you. What is corrupt? Do you ever get a corrupt file, a computer file? What does it do? It starts destroying the computer, right? Corrupt files are not good. You want to get them out of there. Well, it's the same thing with us. We don't need no corrupt files. If we're going to allow something to come in and corrupt us, what we do is that even though the word is good, the old man will corrupt you. Yeah. And so if you continue to live in the old man, you will continually be corrupted. Yeah. Being corrupted, if you allow yourself to be corrupted, you cannot be cleansed.
Right.
You cannot be freed. You put yourself back in bondage. Yeah. Amen. Look what it says here. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Of course, we know this. Romans 12:2 tells us that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It says the same exact thing. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Well, we're going to see that, but it's the word. Amen. And you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So leaving the corrupt is a choice on our part. Look what it says. I actually highlighted these in my Bible. Verse 22, I highlighted you put off. It's a command to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. When I call my dog, Cassie, come here. It's a command. I don't accept the command going out and not bringing back fruit. But the same thing is with us. God has given us a command to put off the old man. If you don't put him off, then you're going to be corrupt. Yeah. But how do you put off the old man? You can only do it through renewing the mind. Yeah. You get into the scripture, allow it to renew you. Yeah. Reading the scripture, I make a covenant with my eyes. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's a proverb psalm, I can't remember, but I make a covenant with my eyes. That is a command. Praise the Lord. Well, there's tons of them, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Be renewed in the spirit of mind that you put on. So that's the other command on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Praise the Lord. So we have three commands in three verses. You put off, be renewed, and you put on.
Yeah.
So you've got to purpose all these things. You have to purpose to put off. You have to purpose to put on or to be renewed, and you have to purpose to put on.
Yeah.
It's the only way you're getting dressed, folks.
Yeah.
You want to be dressed in godliness. You want to be dressed in holiness. You want the blessing of the Lord. You wonder why prayers aren't answered. A lot of times prayers aren't answered because of this right here, because people don't put off the old. I see it all the time. I see Christians that will not put off the old, and they wonder why the life doesn't change. It's not God's fault. God hasn't done. He's not withholding you from you. The Bible tells us that he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. He withholds no good thing. If it's good, he isn't withholding it. Praise the Lord. But you can push it off because you didn't take off and put on. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans says to be transformed. In the Amplified Version, Romans 12:2 says to be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind. The entire renewal of your mind. See, what Christians do is they come in and say, well, I will come this far. I'll receive this, but I don't know if I'll receive that. I will come in. I can receive that Jesus died for me, salvation. But I can't receive that he also gave me the Holy Spirit and that I can speak in tongues.
Yeah.
The Bible commands it.
Yeah.
I said the Bible commands it. The Bible says you got to be of courage. Right? Be strong and of good courage that you may observe to do all that's commanded in the Word. What is commanded in the Word? To receive the Holy Spirit. Is it going to remove salvation from you? No. You can die, go to heaven, and never have spoken in tongues in your life.
Yeah.
Well, how does that help us? It's the Holy Spirit that he's given to help us.
Yeah.
Why do so many Christians go without? Well, first of all, they reject the word of God because of their tradition, because of their religion, because of whatever they want to think. They reject what God is saying. They won't receive the new thing. So they're keeping their old mind, which keeps them corrupt.
Yeah.
See, it's not comfortable sometimes to do the thing. You know, when Pastor Ramos was here, we start laughing. My first inkling was not to go laugh.
Right.
I don't want to start laughing in church.
Right.
It helped he was being a little funny while he was doing it.
Yeah.
But my first inkling wasn't to do that.
Yeah.
The devil was trying to tell me something today while I was in the shower. You know, God speaks to me in the shower, the devil tries to do too.
Yeah.
You know what I started doing? I started laughing. Why? Because I know the word.
Yeah.
But I could not do that if my mind wasn't renewed. I know God will come through for me. So it doesn't matter when the devil tells me he can't, because it doesn't affect me. Or it's not going to, right? Praise the Lord.
Right.
Glory, hallelujah. So, along those lines of corruption, I want to talk about this. You know, you think about what, you know, something, of course, we all know what cancer is. cancer. But what cancer does is it takes those bad cells and it reproduces them rapidly, right? Is that basically what it does? I'm looking at my doctor sister over here. Praise the Lord. She can, so it multiplies them rapidly. And what's it do? It corrupts the whole body. It doesn't, if it was one cell and it never did anything, it wouldn't hurt anybody. Right? You could zap it, you could take it out, you do whatever. One corrupt cell won't hurt you. But when you allow corruption to continue, what happens? It eventually causes death. And that's the same thing that and the Holy Ghost brought this up to me. That's what an unrenewed mind is. It's cancer to the spirit of man. Or to the human. It's cancer to them. Now, it may not come out in cancer. You know, I'm not saying literal cancer in the sense that it's going to give you cancer. But an unrenewed mind will keep you in that place of destruction. It will keep you in that place of not receiving from God. It will continually bring you back there. And so what do you say? Well, how do you renew your mind? Let me take the Holy Ghost, for example. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit plenty in this church. We have books on it that we give out free. Praise the Lord. We want to help people get into it. Why? Because we understand the goodness of it. If you're somebody who struggles with that, how do you renew your mind on that? Well, you could come to your pastor and you could say, listen, Pastor, I'm struggling with this. First of all, I will never rebuke anybody for coming to me and saying, I struggle with this. I want people to do that because then I can actually help them and do my job, because that's what my job is. So what I would do is I would give you some scriptures and then you could start renewing your mind to it. You could start meditating on it. Start speaking them out. Read them every day. Start speaking them, getting them in you. And then eventually what will happen is you ain't got to force it. Eventually what will happen is it'll get in you so much to the point where you'll be like, yeah, I see that. I see that. Now I can do that. It's not scary. See, the things of God don't have to be scary. If there's something you struggle with in the Word, I struggle with healing. Pastor, I struggle with that. Fine, come to me. Let's look at some scriptures. I'm going to give you some scriptures. Start meditating. If you start doing that, what will happen is that will start, it's not going to happen overnight. But what will happen is it'll start changing you. It'll start rewriting you. That. Amen? Praise the Lord. It starts removing that virus. It starts killing that cancer that was keeping you from the blessing of God. Why? Because these things have been given to us to bless us. Now, listen, these are things that come with, the Holy Spirit is something that comes with salvation. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that comes with salvation. It is not guaranteed to us in the sense that it'll just come on you, but it is guaranteed to us that we can receive it if we desire it. We can receive it if we want it. And you see, so with whatever is promised with salvation, we can just get those things, not because we ask for them, but we receive them by heeding the word. Amen? And so that's how we do it. We do it with the word, but that's how the word does it. We have to get it in us. And of course, one of the ways, I want to slow down a little bit because I want to really stress this. How we renew our minds is we get the word of God and we meditate on it day and night. That means that we start, remember, it means to utter, to speak, imagine. Start imagining what it would be like. When the word says it, praise God. That's what Pastor Ramos was doing. He said he was so stirred for the first several days, just about the gold nails that it talks about. Said he used gold, solid gold nails in the building of the Temple of Solomon. Amen? Praise the Lord. Solid gold nails. And so that just in his mind, he was talking about it and he was musing it. He was thinking about it like over and over. He was imagining what that would look like. And he was imagining, how it said that they overlaid everything in the temple with gold. Yeah. Even the beams, they overlaid them and the backside where no one saw. Yeah. And he started imagining the word. You know what I mean? Started thinking about it, imagining it. What would that look like? How would that be? What kind of person would be able to do that? What kind, all these things. And what's that do? It starts, boom, 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 starts building you on the inside. See, when you start imagining yourself healed, you look at the word that says, like I said, Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their distractions. You got two things in that verse. You got deliverance, you got healing. What do you need? So you start imagining that. Man, he sent his word. His word was Jesus. Praise the Lord. He sent his word. This is, I'm look at the word. I'm reading it. I'm speaking this out. I'm literally speaking it out. I speak the word of God. I don't mean speak it in my head. I mean speak it out of my mouth. That's what I've been given a mouth for. I've been given a mouth to bless, not curse. Yeah. So what does that do? It speaks out blessing. What's the blessing? The word of God. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not hard. Listen, this is speaking the word of God, literally. Okay, praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:1 has nothing to do with this. I'm just going to show you how to speak the word. Literally, exactly what I'm doing. This is speaking the word. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. That was a good one. I just kind of fell on that, but praise the Lord. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitate God. Do what he did. The one that calls those things that be not as though they were. What do you have that be not in your life? Start calling it. Why? Because he says you'll be imitators of God. So where does that say that? Well, you just read it, Pastor Jeff. It's right there in Scripture. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God as dear children. Children, do what your daddies do. Praise God if they do right. In this case, do what your daddy, your heavenly daddy does. Hell, amen. Hallelujah. That's speaking the word. See, when you start speaking that out like that and you start thinking about it and you go back and read it and you speak it again, all of a sudden, you start imagining things about God. You start thinking about, oh man, I just said, I can see God speaking to the solar system saying, I want a planet over here and I want a planet over here and sun appear here and oh, that's not big enough, bigger sun over here and oh, that's not big enough, bigger star over here. Praise the Lord. Solar system, light. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rhinoceros. Who thought of that? Duck-billed platypus. God thought of it. Why? He imagined it. And then he spoke it. And it was because God knew who he was. But see, you won't if you don't know who you are. So know who you are and then speak to them duck-billed platypuses. What do I mean? Speak to those odd, weird things that you couldn't ever imagine or never thought that you would have. Start speaking to it. Say it as a matter of a fact. Praise God. A matter of a fact. I speak it out. You want to build faith? This is how you build faith. Praise God, hallelujah. You got to renew your mind, though. If you don't renew your mind, you'll say, well, why would I speak that out? Why would I say these things? I don't have that. My wife and I lived in absolute poverty. We know what poverty is as far as the United States goes, anyways. You couldn't get much poorer than we were. We couldn't afford food, couldn't afford the place we lived, and we couldn't afford the utilities in it. Can't get much worse than that, at least in this country. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a true statement. We were like that for years. How do we get out of that? By following the word. By being faithful to God. God will always lead you out. God does not leave his children in poverty. Why? Well, because if you did, you'd be a bad parent. God ain't a bad parent. He's much better than you are. So God is not leaving his children in poverty. Actually, prosperity is one of those things that is guaranteed in salvation. It is prosperity. I didn't say an amount of money. I said prosperity. So you have to start seeing yourself as prosperous in order for you to ever receive the prosperity that God has for you. What's prosperous? He says you will have good success. It means when I put my hand to something, that's another thing. He said he will bless the work of your hands. That means when I put my hand to something, it will work out because I'm prosperity. I don't have prosperity. I'm not seeking prosperity. I told you I am prosperity. You want to see what prosperity looks like? Well, you're looking at him right now. This is prosperity. Praise the Lord. You want to know what prosperity looks like? Pick up a little, you know, women, you got a little one of those compact mirrors in your purse. When you start feeling like, oh, I don't know if I can, I don't know what we're going to do, I don't, blah, 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 pull out that mirror, look and say, hey, ooh, that's prosperity. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, you got to start imagining it. You got to start imagining what God wants to do in your life. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He said he's going to bless you indeed. He said he's going to bless you greatly. What does bless greatly mean? Well, I don't know, but I can start imagining it. And you know what's even better? Ephesians 3:20 tells us that he does exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine. Well, if you imagine nothing, exceedingly abundantly above nothing isn't much. He wants to do a lot in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. You hear me, Josh? He wants to do a lot in your life. That's not a lie. That's from the Spirit of God. Right now, I just got that download. Whoop, whoop, whoop. It's coming right to you. He wants to do a lot in your life, but you got to let him. You going to let him? I know you are. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Mom, you got to remind him of that. And those other boys, too. He's not just singling him out. He wants to do it in all your lives. Praise the Lord. A little link back there. See that smile? Praise God. I love that smile on that boy back there. Hallelujah. It blesses me every time I see him. Just because of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Link, come up here real quick. Can you come up here? Run up here real quick. It's going to pay out, I promise. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There you go. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Good things happen when you come to church. That's what that means. Hallelujah. You remember that all the days of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 36:9. Praise the Lord. Look at the scripture. For with you, that it's a big you, that's God. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. In your light, we see light. In your light, we see. What's his light? It's the light of his word. This is his light. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, this is the light of God. In his light, we see light. See, where you've been living is darkness. When you've been living in lack, you've been living in darkness. When you've been living in sickness, that's darkness. When you've been living in and not knowing what to do, that's darkness. When you've been living in depression, that's darkness. In his light, we'll see light. You want to get out of darkness? You got to go to the light, folks. You got to pick up the light and start putting it in you. You got to renew your mind according to his light. Not the light you thought you had, but the light that God has already written for you. He's given you the instruction. He's given you the ability. Now walk in it. Look at it. Renew your mind. Allow these things to be stirred in you. Allow these things to come out. Allow yourself to imagine what God wants to do in your life. Allow yourself to imagine what God is doing in your life. Allow yourself to imagine things that you couldn't imagine before. And then watch him do exceedingly abundantly above it because he loves you. Yes. Praise the Lord. I said he loves you. Glory to God. He loves you. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I think that's as far as I'm going today. We got more, but you know how it goes. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was a lot of help in today's message. Renew your mind. Renew your mind to the things that God has for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.